people of color don't exist. The whole idea behind the term people of color is a lie. So here's the lie. You may have studied history or economics enough in school to have heard about communism, what it really is. This idea that there are two groups of people in the world. There are the noble workers and the evil factory owners. And there's a variety of terms you can call them by. Bourgeoisie is one of their favorite. And then the proletariat. The proletariat, of course, is inherently mistreated, abused, being stolen from, whilst the moneyed owning class is leeching them, taking from them. And if your IQ is 80, it makes sense that there's inherent value in work, and if you are making profit, then you must be not paying people enough. So that caught on for a while. See, and then it fell apart. So we had 100 years of communism where it was economic. Nothing mattered, race, national origin, gender. That was not relevant. The only two groups in the world that existed, according to communists, were the noble, disadvantaged, abused workers, and the evildoers. That was it. So that's how you could get a Russian communist country with a Georgian dictator. And nobody batted an eye at it, because Russian and Georgian were not relevant to the discussion. That's Stalin, by the way. In case you didn't know that, Stalin wasn't a Russian. But anyway, I digress. So when that fell apart, and, 100 years of trying and 100 million dead people sort of put a damper on the mood of communism, and it became obvious that economically life's not that simple, and not everyone neatly fits into those two categories, and categorizing people in that way doesn't work properly, and a number of things. The communists moved on to what they call postmodernism. And what postmodernism is, among other things, is this idea that everything in life is a coin, and there are two sides, the noble, abused victim side and the evil oppressor side. So everything is a coin. There's oppressor and oppressed. So that's where you get stuff like third wave feminism, where all men are evil and all women are wonderful, noble, oppressed creatures. Which a big part of why I wrote my book is that notion. Today's podcast is brought to you by my book, The Toxic Masculinity Crisis, written by Dennis M. Brown. Available now on Amazon.com. You can buy it, and you can read it, and you can learn why being a man is good, and why being masculine is good. And by good, I mean benign. And what the purpose of masculinity is, and what your role in the world is, and all these wonderful things. And whether you're a man or a woman, you should read it. Because if you're a woman, though you're not called upon to be masculine, you should know what sort of type of traits you should be looking for in a suitor. And that's in there too. It's a great book. Get it. So the postmodernists see everything that way. So male, females that way. Rich and poor's that way. The races are that way. So because these clowns are all unbelievably wealthy, the children of unbelievably wealthy, successful people go to college, fancy schools in Paris, London, New York, Harvard, Yale. They come up with these wonderful theories. They only know the stupid world they live in. So they have decided that racially the two sides of the coin are white people and not white people. Because where they live, white people are both the majority and also perhaps disproportionately economically successful. And if you're a communist, the only explanation for success is that you are taking advantage of others, stealing their labor, robbing them. So that's how the race component of postmodernism works. White people are evil, and not white people are lovely, noble people who are being oppressed. Now, never mind for a moment the fact that that's 100% false, but let's peruse the world, shall we? Because if you have a theory about the way the world works, the world should work that way, not just your wealthy suburban neighborhood you grew up in Westchester County, New York, or the East Bay of California, wherever you happen to hail from. Pick a country, Japan. Are the white people in Japan oppressing the non-white people in Japan? They're not, are they? Okay. Pick another country. Indonesia. How's it working out there? No? No? All right. But here's the real reason the whole people of color thing is stupid, and the reason people of color don't exist is because it's people with IQs of 80 with no world experience trying to explain something that they don't understand. People of color is an effort by postmodernists, whatever, communists, to explain that there are the evil white people who are oppressors, and then there are non-white people who are all this wonderful group of unified oppressed. And that all of the behavior that they may exhibit that doesn't fit that narrative is because they're oppressed. So anything that's done, this is why they parrot the idea that you can't be racist against white people. Because their racism, if they're racist, not to say that all non-white people are racist, but those in the non-white races who are racists are forgiven because it's the logical end result of their oppression that makes them that way. If you think that people of color exist, do me a favor and go to the Dominican Republic. Spend some time in Hispaniola. It's this beautiful island in the Caribbean. Lovely beaches, wonderful culture, music. It's fantastic. And it's neatly divided down the middle between two different groups of people of color who hate each other. Roberto Clemente, who in America is a racial hero because he famously was one of the first, or maybe he was the first, Latin ball players, famously for the Pittsburgh Pirates. Great ball player. Was at a dinner after he retired in his hometown to celebrate his career as a baseball hero. A hero to the youth of his island and his country and his people, gone to America and succeeded, and rightfully so. And at the dinner, the waiters for the sort of the servant class were Haitians, who are the descendants of slaves from a French colony, so they speak Creole. And I actually know some Haitians personally, and from what I've seen, they're lovely people. Roberto Clemente refused to eat because Haitians had touched his plate and his silverware. That is super racist. Like, even the plantation owners in the South during slavery ate food from silverware that was touched by non-white people. But not the Dominicans, man. They don't like each other. You want to see how much, just in the Latin community, you want to see how much they don't like each other? Ask a Puerto Rican if he's Mexican. See how he responds to that. Not well. The Japanese and the Chinese don't like each other. The Koreans and the Japanese don't like each other. The Vietnamese and the Chinese don't like each other. The Vietnamese and the Cambodians don't like each other. There's not a harmonious group of non-white people. It's not the case that there's this lovely, oppressed, noble, unified group of non-whites. That's why I laugh when they talk about America becoming not white. They have this future of America being not white. They have a date. They'll give you a date. I think used to be 2050. Now it's 2070, when America will be not majority white. Okay. Now, the reason that's cheered and celebrated by the left is because they look at it like I'm trying to explain to you. Like there's going to be this wonderful, unified, oppressed, non-white majority who will now be the majority and will rule in harmonious wonderfulness for all of eternity. No, they don't like each other. It's not one group. It's a bunch of groups of people who don't like each other. Just look at Los Angeles. As the immigrant population have pushed the blacks out of South Central Los Angeles, there's a ton of animosity there. So where these groups come together, there's conflict. Different cultures come together, there's conflict. It doesn't matter majority, minority, power, not power. When you have cultures getting smashed together or forced together, there's conflict. It's true everywhere. It's just the way people work. That's not to say that people can't eventually learn to get along with one another. You know, people, good people with good intentions will figure it out. It's fine. But there's going to be some friction. But even if in 2070, America is not majority white, which I don't know why anybody cares about that anyway. We should be more concerned that there is majority American. I don't know why anybody really cares about the color of somebody's skin. But it is not the case that it will be a majority nothing. You want to break things up by race. Because people of color don't exist. That's not a thing. The descendants of Chinese immigrants do not have the same experience in life as African American descendants of slaves that have been here for hundreds of years. The Indians that come to the Tech Valley to take tech jobs don't have the same experience, and their children don't have the same experience as Guatemalans in Arizona. It's not the same thing. They're not interested in the same things. They don't have the same concerns. They don't have the same worries. They don't have the same life. Which is like, it brings you back to the whole thing with the idea that white people are this oppressive majority. The highest earning people in the United States of America by racial group are not white people. I think white people are fifth. The Indians are ahead. The Chinese are definitely ahead. I did it to you again. Hang on. Anyway, other racial groups are succeeding in America disproportionately to white people. Well, that's the other reason the whole idea of people of color don't exist. So the New York Times hired a new member of their editorial board, which I don't know anything about newspapers, and quite frankly, why should anyone know anything about newspapers? It's a relic of the soon-to-be-forgotten past. Who the heck cares about newspapers? Nobody's reading the paper. And I'm glad they still make newspapers because I use it to light the kindling in my fireplace in the wintertime. It's really good at that. Like, it's great. Newspaper is the best. It's better than any other paper. It burns a little longer. It's nice. But aside from that, I see no use for it. And I think you could probably buy it. You know, just blank newspaper. That type of paper, you probably can buy it. But I don't know why anybody cares about papers. But people do. So the New York Times hired this Asian woman who was some kind of postmodernist, communist, whatever, who has a history of tweeting about how much she hates white people. Now, if she's smart, which I'm assuming she's smart, if she's smart, my guess is that all of her tweets about how much she hates white people are her effort to ingratiate herself with other non-white people, which is a smart play. And probably got her job in the New York Times. But let us not pretend that the lovely young Asian woman who has an IQ probably somewhere near 140 knows anything about what it's like to be a Pakistani convenience store owner or a factory worker or a coal miner or any... Like, what are you talking about? Are you serious? There's been this enormous backlash against her hiring, and the responses defending her are hysterical, that she is a woman of color. And how dare you criticize her, woman of color, for hating white people? Oh my goodness. I mean, if you really examine racism in America today, there is racism in America today. Harvard discriminates against Asian applicants based on their race. That's racist. There are people, like this woman that was just hired at the New York Times, who hate white people. She hates them because they're white. That's racist. It's not that complicated. It's 2018. Most people don't care about the color of anyone's skin or what country they came from or how they worship their God, whatever the case may be, at all. What they care about is lies. So when you hear people talking about Islam and being upset about something with Muslims, it's not because they hate Muslim people. It's because there's a problem in Islam. And honest people all agree, including Muslim people who are honest, agree that there's a problem. You can talk about the problem without hating all Muslims. And that is the case. The people who talk about it, who are honest, say, hey, this is an issue, don't hate Muslims. Some of them are Muslims. So stupid. But for the most part, by and large, nobody cares. Nobody cares anymore about race. I know that's like a heartbreaking thing for people to hear. I promise you, white people are not sitting around at secret meetings talking about how they can better oppress non-white people. They don't care. Life is hard in 2018. Business is tough. I guess margin erosion is probably a whole other podcast, but it's harder and harder for regular people to make a living and to make profit and to succeed. They're looking for people who can help them succeed. Nobody cares about the color of their skin. America doesn't care anymore. Which is why if you're an Asian woman who hates white people, people are going to be upset by that. Because we don't do that anymore. And to act like somehow, the New York Times issued a response to the criticisms of them hiring her to be a member of their editorial board, which I'm assuming is a position of power. I'm assuming she has some role now in determining the editorial positions of the New York Times. And generally, Americans, I would think, probably don't want racists to be making decisions about the editorial content of a major newspaper. Now, let's never mind the fact that the New York Times has been a joke for a long time, and any relevance or esteem they now hold is just the remnants of a bygone era when they actually had ethics, served a purpose. But still, people are upset about it. So the New York Times issued a response saying that although she had made numerous racist comments and hateful comments towards white people, that it was because she was a person of color in journalism and had received hatred on that basis online. Now, no examples were given. There are no actual examples of people saying hateful, racist things to her. Which is not to say it doesn't exist. I mean, trolls exist. There are people out there who say inflammatory things as a sport for fun. And they say it to everybody. And if her response is to reveal the fact that she hates white people, well, I guess then she hates white people. I don't have to tell you. That's not a thing we do in America anymore. We don't hate people based on their race. It's very funny to me. The narrative, the idea that if you're not white, you can't succeed in America is funny to me. There are so many examples of it not being true. It doesn't even make sense to start listing them off. Everyone can succeed in America. It takes hard work, a determination, takes sacrifice, takes focus, takes seriousness, takes a type of person who takes every opportunity to improve themselves and make themselves more marketable. It doesn't take white skin. Anyone can do it. I saw a statistic a while ago about the percentage of a population based, you know, divided by race in New York City, or ethnic background or whatever, of business owners. Like, what percentage of the population of a group was business owners? And the number one group for owning businesses was Jamaicans. And that may have all changed. New York is one of those cities where a lot of new arrivals go. So there's always some new immigrant group coming in. But at one time, in the not-so-distant past, Jamaicans were very, very successful in New York City, owned businesses. Well, I don't know if you've ever been to Jamaica or met Jamaicans. Most of them aren't white. I'm going to go on a limb and say the immigrants to New York City that were owning businesses were not white. So how is that possible in this racist America? So ridiculous. So I don't know. That's my message for today. People of color don't exist. It's not a group. It's not one group of people. It's lots of different people from lots of different colors with lots of different languages and lots of different skin tones and lots of different cultures and lots of different national backgrounds that all have an impact on the way they feel about the world and the other people in it. And the correct attitude, the correct way to approach the issue of difference is curiosity. You should not hate someone because of the country they come from, or the god they choose to worship or don't worship, or the color of their skin, or their ethnic background. You should be mildly curious. And if everyone was mildly curious and not hateful, we could all get along fine. You can have your culture and do your thing, and that's that. And then America, the idea of America as a melting pot is that everyone kind of mushes together into one culture. So I saw an article, it was written recently by another Asian woman, I think a different Asian woman. Was it the same woman? I don't know. An article went viral recently where a woman said that lawns are a tool of white supremacy and racism. And her basis for this was that, by and large, suburban neighborhoods are populated by white people. And they have lawns. And lawns are evil because it's a waste of resources. So again, it's communism, right? The idea that someone else can come in and tell you how to use things that you own, that you don't get to decide for yourself how best to use your own property. So lawns are evil because they waste resources. And also because her grandmother had bought a home in a suburban neighborhood that had some sort of zoning ordinance about the neatness of a property, how your property had to look. So a lot of places have this. So I lived in Florida for 10 years. In Florida, most neighborhoods have some sort of covenant or homeowners association or something of that nature, where there's rules about how everything has to look. The house has to be a certain color, the mailbox has to be clean, the garage doors have to be clean, the weeds have to be kept down, the lawn has to be cut, trees have to be trimmed, all these things has to look a certain way. And you sign a contract when you buy the house, if that's the case. Now, where I live in upstate New York, the houses are far enough apart that nobody cares what your house looks like or what your yard looks like, because they can't see it from their yard. Excuse me. So in Florida, where the properties are the size of postage stamps, and you can see seven neighbors' houses from your front porch, you care what your neighbor's house looks like, I guess. I didn't like it. When we bought our house in Florida, I was trying to find a house that didn't have it, because I didn't want to do that. I didn't think that was right, that someone else could tell me what to do with property I owned. But my wife wanted to live in a neighborhood. Not, you know, if you buy a house that's just a piece of property, build a house on it, you can do whatever you want. But if you're in a neighborhood, and she wanted to be in a neighborhood, so that was it. And there was no option out there. So in upstate New York, we don't do that. Wherever this lady's grandmother was, they had some kind of rules about it. And I don't know the details, and she didn't divulge them in her article, whether there was some sort of agreement that the grandmother had signed or not. I don't know. It may have been some sort of municipality ruling about the way your yard looked. And so her grandmother had planted a garden in the front yard that was in violation of the rules. And she was told she had to not do that. She had to have grass in her front yard. And that was an example of evil white supremacy. What? No, it's ridiculous. People decided that they wanted things to look a certain way. And if you want to live in that area, you got to let things look a certain way. Maybe before you buy a house, you should look into it. Seems like the kind of thing worth asking. Also seems odd that a communist thinker grandmother should be able to do whatever she wants with her property, and that some sort of community organization shouldn't be able, by democratic vote or otherwise, to determine how she should use her property. That seems funny too. They don't get irony though, I don't think, the communists. Yeah, it's all just dumb. Just dumb nonsense. But the whole thing was that lawns are racist and a tool of white supremacy. And having a lawn is racist. Like I said, I agree that these covenant homeowners association type rulings are dumb. You should be able to do whatever you want on your property. Literally whatever you want. As long as you're not hurting other people, sacrificing virgins or something, you can do whatever you want on your property, in my opinion. And that's why I believe that marijuana should be legal, because you can grow it on your property because it's a plant. So if you would like marijuana, you should be allowed to grow it on your property. And no one should have dominion over it because you grew it on your property. Now, if you want to say you can't take it off your property and sell it to your neighbor, okay, I guess that's fine, whatever. But as long as it stays in your property, it should be nobody's business. So I think the lady's grandma should be allowed to have a garden in her front yard. Now, the end of the story was the grandmother moved the garden to the backyard and it thrived. It's a great garden. It's fantastic because her grandmother's a wonderful gardener. I think it's awesome. Good for her. I'm glad the garden is a success. I think more people should garden. It's good. But the lawn in the front yard is not racist. It also affects property value. The only argument that I like about saying things have to look a certain way is because if your neighbor's lawn looks like a disaster, it affects property values. It makes your house harder to sell because people who are moving in or thinking about moving in and buying your home, and they see your neighbor's got garbage stacked up in the front yard, they don't like the way it looks. And so they might not buy your house. And then if people don't want your house, if it's not desirable, it reduces the value of your house because you have to drop the price to try to sell it. So that is an issue, I suppose, in my do-whatever-you-want mentality. But nonetheless. I just don't know. I can't get over how ignorant the whole thing is. I can't get over how ignorant it is to think that people of color is a group, is a one thing group. That you've not traveled enough or read enough about other cultures to understand that racial animosities exist all over the world. The Middle East. They hate each other. The Arabs and the Persians. That gets mistakenly, I think, construed as a religious disagreement, which it also is. But let's not forget that the Arabs and the Persians aren't the same thing. Just because their skin is brownish doesn't mean that they think they're the same thing. You think I'm kidding? Go to Iran and ask them about being Arab. See what they say to you. They would not be happy. Let's just tell the truth. My goodness, stop lying about everything. But communists have to lie. If it wasn't for lies, communism would die. It's like the food that communism lives on. People of color do not exist. It's just people. There's lots of different people doing things. And you shouldn't hate them, unless they're assholes. But that requires getting to know them and not judging entire groups of people. Listen, I hope you all have a fantastic day today. Thank you for tuning into the podcast. Don't forget to go to Amazon.com and check out the book, The Toxic Masculinity Crisis. And I hope you all have a fantastic day.